You say amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. That's what I say today too. Thank you, Jesus, because it's what you have done that made the difference in my life. How about you out there today? Has Jesus made a difference in your life today? Yes. Are you here to rejoice? Yeah, I am. Are you here to pray? Are you here to study? Let's do that. Let's get our Bibles open. And of course, I'm being reminded that I'm a little remiss here about turning on my mic. Can we say amen? Yeah, God is so good. God is so good. You know, the series that we're doing today, we've been doing this month, and I may actually extend it a little bit. It's been called The Heart of the Matter, and it's really where the mind and faith mix. Where do we find that in the Scriptures, and what is it about our minds that makes a difference for our faith? And hopefully you found them pretty practical. Today we're going to look at a new subject as we delve into the heart of the matter, and let's begin with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, as we study in the Scriptures again, as we look at the heart of the matter, I'm praying for first myself, myself would be gone, and that you would be here. Your Spirit would lead and would guide, and that your Spirit would be here among all of us, so that the message that comes from the Scriptures would touch our hearts and change our lives. And I do pray that in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'd like to start off with a question. What do you think of when someone asked you if you've come to a fork in the road? What comes to your mind when you think about the fork of the road? You know, someone, you know, might ask you, when you come to a fork in the road, really what they're saying is, do I go this way or do I go that way? A fork in the road is really a decision point in your life. Have you ever had any of those where you've come to a fork in the road? Yeah, sure. All of us have done that at one time or another. It's called a decision. And I'll give you some examples of what I'm talking about. You all have had decisions. In case you haven't, I'll give you an example. Would you like paper or plastic? Would you like fries with that? What color would you like? Ooh, there's one. How about this one? Can I really afford that right now? Or maybe, do I really believe that? You know, ideas bring you to a decision point in your life. Or how about this? You're a young person, or maybe not a young person, and someone walks up to you. Would you like one of these? Got a decision point right there in your life. Or, should my daughter be dating at that age? You know, there's a decision point. Is divorce really an option for me? You know, we're confronted with decisions all of the time. You know, and most of the decisions really aren't that important, but there are decisions that we make that have life-altering consequences. Once we start down a path, it changes everything in the course of our entire life because we've encountered a fork in the road. And you know, we're going to encounter forks in the road as we reach the end of time. And some of these forks of the road, we have to prepare. You might be prepared for them now, but you're going to face them. And which way are you going to go when you make those decisions? And that's where we're going to go today in this part of the series. We're going to look at how do we make decisions from the heart. You know, in the last time when we studied, we looked at how it was that you can know your heart. We learned that you really can't know your heart, but you can test your heart to see how you react when you're tempted. We learned that you could check your balance to see where your emotions are, to see whether you're walking in the Spirit or walking in the flesh. Today we're going to go a little deeper. We're going to learn about how you can make decisions. Is there a way in which you can make decisions that will help you biblically, that will help you in your life? And I'd like to explore that with you today and tell you that, yes, variably there is a way for you to make a decision that is Christ-centered in your heart. So let's begin with another prayer. Lord God, as we take this into the Scriptures now, I'm asking for your blessing. I'm praying for that special heart out there today who's making decisions, and I'm asking you to help us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, I'm going to start off by asking this question. What does our pop culture, what is our culture today? How do they tell you to make decisions? Very good. They tell you to follow your heart. Write that down. Popular philosophy tells you to follow your heart when making decisions. And you know, I'm going to talk about that for a minute. Follow your heart is really asking you to use your emotions and use your feelings at the present time to make a decision. And it's the number one tool of advertisers. It's the number one tool that's the stuff of romance novels. It's the stuff of New Age seminars and self-help books. I'll give you an example. Here's one right here. Here's a self-help book. It says, follow your heart and you'll get rich. You know, find new ways of making money. You'll get rich if you follow your heart. But the basic problem with this philosophy is that there are no boundaries when it comes to following your emotions or your feelings at any given time. Here's an example. This is a saying. This is very popular in our culture today. There is no set path. Just follow your heart. Have you ever heard that? What they're saying is there's no boundaries. There's no guidelines for anything. It's just, how are your emotions right now? What are your feelings like right now? Then go for it, baby. That's what I want you to do. Follow your heart. And this is a problem because you know what? You could follow your heart and chase after something that will change your whole life. And it will cause, if you let your heart be your compass, if you follow your heart, let that be your compass and your guide, you're going to be led down some pretty bad rabbit holes. And there could be some pretty destructive consequences in your life. But you know, you might ask the question, what is wrong with following my heart? Come on, Pastor, what's wrong with that? Well, I'll tell you, the Bible shares with us that the heart is not something you want to follow. There are two problems with the philosophy of the world, follow your heart. Here's the first one, write this down. Your heart is unreliable. Your heart is unreliable. Proverbs 28 and verse 26 says, he who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but he who walks wisely will be delivered. It's pretty rough stuff, isn't it? He who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but he who... I'll give you an example. A guy walks into a car dealership. All he wants to do is just look at some new cars. So he's in the car dealership, and he happens to find one. He gets in it, and he's looking at the dials and the buzzes and the whistles. He thinks, this is pretty cool. And there were some salesmen watching him and things like that. So he walks out, and he says, you know what? I'm not going to buy this car. He walks towards the door, and the salesman stops him, and he just to put it at the end, he says, price is too high, and it's the wrong color. Salesman says, oh, hey, listen, sit down for a minute. I'm going to go talk to my sales manager. So he runs back, and he comes back, and he has a piece of paper in his hand. He puts it in front of him. He says, look, will this price make you change the mind about the color? The guy looks down on the price, and he's going, well, it is a pretty good price. And so the next minute, he's thinking in his head, and the salesman looks at him, and he says, follow your heart. The next minute, the man's in the office there where they do the finances. An hour later, he's sitting at home, and he's looking out in his driveway, and there's that car, and there's the payment book, and he suddenly realizes he can't afford the payments on his salary, and he doesn't like the color. And he's got buyer's remorse because he followed his heart. You see, he who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but he who walks wisely will be delivered. People who follow their hearts, friends, have abandoned their faith on a whim. They've placed their life savings on a roulette wheel, believing that it was their lucky day. They have abandoned their lifelong spouse to go after that attractive someone who's already been married 5 times. As we talked about last time, the Bible tells us that our hearts, as if we trust our hearts as a center, our hearts shift based upon our circumstances, based upon our emotions. We often forget how fickle it is that our hearts really are, and how unreliable and shallow they can be. And the proverb tells us this. You know, here's the second reason. Our hearts are unreliable. This is why you don't want to follow your heart. Number two, you don't want to follow your heart because your heart is corrupted. The Bible says in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? Can you really understand your heart? You can test it. You can check your emotions, but can you really understand your heart? You know, there's a great story in the Bible that describes this. It's found in Genesis chapter 31. And it's the story of Jacob. Does everybody know who Jacob is? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Jacob was the one that was later called Israel. Well, Jacob goes back to his homeland of Abraham so he can get a wife. And he comes to Laban, which is related. And Laban there invites him in. And there, Jacob gets a wife. Oops, the wrong wife. He gets Leah. And he works 7 years for Leah. And he gets Rachel. And he works another 7 years. About 14 years, he's working for Laban. And Laban is prospering. Finally, Jacob gets to the place where he says, look, you've got to help me have a living. I've got a family here. I've got a lot of kids. I got two wives. And Laban says, sure, no problem. And so they make out an arrangement. If the animals come out spotted, then they belong to Jacob. You know, God knew what was going on, and so God got involved in this. And you know what? When the animals came out, they were spotted, and Jacob got them. And so Laban kept changing the wages. He changed the wages. The Bible says 10 times he kept cheating him of his wages. And finally, God was getting to the place where Jacob was getting all the lambs. Jacob's flocks were growing and growing. And then finally, we get to the place where we read in Genesis 31, verse 1, that Laban's son comes to Jacob, and they say, he's taken away all our wealth. And he starts to look bad in the eyes of Laban and the boys. And so Jacob, knowing this, he goes to his two wives, Leah and Rachel, and he says to them, listen, this is the situation. We need to go back. And by the way, God has already told me that it's time to go. So they're ready to go. They wait until Laban and the boys are 3 days away shearing sheep, and they make their move. They get their stuff and they go. But somebody made a decision. Rachel, now she must have known who God was at this time, made a decision. She decided that she would take her father's house idols with her. Why did she make a decision like that? So she takes the house idols with her, and off they go. And when Laban and the boys get back, they come into the house. And it looked as if raiders had come and stolen from them because the house idols were gone. So, shing, get on the horses, boys, we're going after them. And so they go after them. And when they get there, how did they treat Jacob? They treated Jacob as if he was a guy who came in and broke into their house and stole their stuff because she decided to take the house idols. See, this is what I'm talking about. Our hearts are corrupt. She must have thought in her heart that taking those idols must have been a good thing. It was going to help him out, but it turned out that it almost cost her husband his life because he was now seen as a thief. See, our hearts are corrupt. Trusting in our hearts is not easy. Because in our hearts are always going to make it look bad. And that's what it happens. When we make decisions based upon our hearts, we can convince ourselves that we're going to do something that's good and it turns out bad. And it can be bad results for the rest of our lives. Can we do that? Have you ever made a decision like that? Sure, you have. Sure, I have. Trusting my heart, following my heart, my emotions at the moment, making a decision that changed the course of my life. It almost changed the course of Jacob's entire life. So, here's what we know. Philosophy tells you to follow your heart, but there's a problem with that. Your heart is very inconsistent, it's unreliable, and it's corrupt. So what do you do? Well, the Bible tells us. Here's our text. Proverbs 23, verse 19. This is what the Bible says to do. Listen, my son and daughter, and be wise and direct your heart in the way. Listen, my son and daughter, and be wise and direct your heart in the way. Write this down. The Bible tells you to direct. The Bible directs you, I'll put it up here. The Bible directs you to lead your heart when you are faced with a decision. Did you catch that? The Bible doesn't say follow your heart. Don't follow your emotions as fickle as they are, or your feelings as fickle as they are. Instead, the Bible says, lead your heart. That means leadership. That means you need to lead the direction that your heart's going to go. You need to lead where your heart is going to go. It means taking full responsibility of your God-given ability to direct your heart from decisions, to direct the decisions of your life from this course to that course, to go from here to there. That's what it's talking about. And you know, the Bible is just filled with examples of how you can lead your heart. Here's the one, Proverbs 23:17. Do not let your heart envy sinners. There's a decision point. Do I envy or not? Proverbs 62:10. If riches increase, do not set your heart on them. That may be a typo, but I think it's right. 1 Kings 8:61. Let your heart therefore be wholly devoted to the Lord. There's the decision point. Is your heart devoted to the Lord or not? Decision. John 14:27. Do not let your heart be troubled. Or let it be fearful. Which decisions do you make? Do you make decisions when you're fearful? There's a decision point. Lead your heart. James 4:8. Purify your hearts. James 5:8. Strengthen your hearts. See, these are all decision points. These are things that you can do that you can lead your heart when you are confronted to make a decision. And I could go on, but you know, there are so many standards we receive from God. And the book of Revelation actually describes people. Think about this. The book of Revelation describes people who are leading their hearts at the end of time. I'll show you right here. Revelation 14:12. Here is the perseverance of the saints who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus. Did you notice that? These people at the end are leading their hearts to make a decision to do things God's way. And guess what? They're doing it by faith. All of that in that one text. The people at the end of time are going to be leading their heart. They're not going to be following their heart. They're not going to be following the fashions of the world. They're not going to be following the latest craze. They're not going to be following that heart. They're going to be leading their heart to follow Jesus all the way by faith. That is a powerful thought, isn't it? Would you like to be that way? And so I want to share with you, how is it that we can do that? How is it that we can lead our hearts? I'm going to close today with just two suggestions. Two suggestions of how we can exert leadership in our hearts. Two things that we can do to order our lives. And I'll show you what they are. And now I'm going to share this with you. These two things I'm going to share with you, you have to do them continuously. Okay? Do we get that? Say it with me. Continuously. In other words, if you just do it once or twice, it isn't going to help you. You have to keep doing these things over and over and over again. If you keep doing them, it'll become a habit. And if they become a habit, you will learn to lead your heart the way the Bible says here, in the way. So here they go. Here's the first one. Write this down. There are two practices you can do to lead your heart. Number one, check your heart. You know, 2 weeks ago, we talked about how you could know sort of what's going on in your heart by seeing how you react in the test of temptation, or seeing what your emotional state is at any moment. Is it matching the spirit, or is it matching the flesh? You can know those things, but this is different. Check your heart to see how you have made decisions in the past. Check your heart on how you decide to do things in the past. Let me share with you what I'm talking about. I'm from engineering. You know, I worked for 15 years in engineering and research and things like that. And when I was taking my systems engineering class, we learned about open loop systems. You know, open loop system is you have an input. That's something that's happening to you right now. You have the system, and then you have an output. And do you know that in an open loop system, that I can put an in, almost invariably, I can give you an impulse response. That's what they call it. You give the system an impulse response and see what the output's like, and I can guarantee you I can get your system to go unstable if it's open loop. Every time I give you an impulse response, your system will go unstable. And I can give you lots of examples of what impulse responses might be in your life, but just look at some of the places where you have trouble with making decisions, right? On how you're going to react. And think about when somebody gives you an impulse response, your system, if it's simply just following your heart, your system is going to go unstable. You're just following your emotions. You're just going to go here and there and here and there. Well, fortunately, Science and engineering has given us a solution, and here's what it is. In any system that's open loop, the way that you correct that is you sample what's been coming out of the system. You sample a little bit of it, and you run it back through a controller, and then you feed that back, and then you it's called a feedback control loop. You just feed it back, and what results is the system, when you give an impulse response, it becomes stable quickly. And that's what can happen to you. And here's what you do. You're trained your whole life to follow your heart, right? It seems like all the time we're reacting to things, making decisions based upon emotions, making decisions based upon other things. Well, if you just look at how you've been making your decisions and feed that back through the controller of the Bible, the Scriptures, seeing what the Scriptures say about that, and then feed that back, you're going to soon learn to make decisions differently because you're going to use the Bible as your guide. You're not going to follow your heart. You're going to follow the Scriptures. You're going to use the Scriptures to teach you where you need to go. And that is so beautiful because the Scriptures, friends, let me share with you. The Scriptures are perfect for this. I'll explain why. Look at this text, Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is what? It's what? Is it dead? Is it just a bunch of words on paper? The word of God is what? It's living! And it's active! And it's sharper than a two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of the soul and the spirit to both joints and marrows, and able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. Isn't that the ultimate controller to put in your feedback control loop? Put the Scriptures in there because the Scriptures are living. That Bible is living. You read it, you'll find out. Keep reading it. Keep reading it. Keep reading about Jesus. Keep reading the Gospels. Keep reading the Proverbs. Keep reading what the Bible says. I'm guaranteeing you that that Bible's living. And now, the next decision that you make, check to see how you've been making those decisions. And then run them through the filter of the Bible. And I guarantee you, pretty soon, you'll change the way you make decisions. Think about that, guys. Think about that, ladies. You know, all the time you're making decisions. How do you use that computer you got? How are you using the internet? How are you using the gifts that God's given you? What are you doing? You, every single day, if you use that computer, you use that Bible as your feedback loop, when you make decisions, it'll change the way you make decisions. Okay, and that's number one. Number two, write this down. So, basically, that goes under there, let the Holy Scriptures give you feedback to help you make the best decisions. That's the simplest thing to put in there. Number two, the second thing that you can do, and this is so important about decision making, and that's this. Invest your heart. Invest your heart. And I'm gonna write this down. I want you to think about this for a minute. Our text said this. Proverbs 23:19 says this. Listen, my son or daughter, and be wise and direct your heart, what? Into nothing?
In the way.
Ah, okay, now we're getting somewhere. And so one of the things that you can do in your life, if you really want to make good decisions as a Christian, is to direct your heart in the way, in the process of salvation, in Jesus. And I'll give you an example right here, perfect example, Matthew 6:19-21, Jesus' words. Jesus said, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures where? In heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. Here's the punchline. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You don't know how powerful that text is when it comes to decisions, because Jesus reveals to us a very simple fact. Your heart follows your investment. Your heart follows your investment. And here's what I mean by that. What you give your money to, your energy to, your time to, are all things you're investing in. And your heart is going to follow your investment. Your decisions that you're going to make in your life right now, tomorrow, the next day, the next week, the next life, is always going to be based upon what you're investing in. And see, one of the things we could do to make Christian decisions, better decisions, life-changing decisions, or keep us from making really crummy ones, is if we invest our hearts in the right place. We make our investment the kingdom. We make our investment the way, Jesus. I'll give you an example. Probably one of the difference, here's an interesting story. The difference between courtship and marriage. What's the difference between courtship and marriage? Well, in courtship, you're doing a lot of investing of your heart. You invest your heart in making those phone calls, you send the special cards, you send flowers, and you're really investing in the courtship phase, aren't you? A lot of investment. You get on the phone and all night long, it's all you're doing is talking to one another. Oh, yeah, yeah, you're just there. You're investing, you're investing, you're investing. You're investing your heart in that other person. But what happens when you get married? You know, it's a sad fact, but people do say that once they get married, they stop investing as much. Isn't that true? Yes. Cards come less frequently. Fewer nights out, fewer date nights. It comes harder to even sometimes remember the anniversary that came up. And, when you stop investing in that relationship, that marriage relationship, when you stop investing in it, you actually start investing in other things, don't you? Am I right? You start pouring yourself into other things your heart leads you to, you following your heart. And of course, you may feel that you're not as in love today as you were yesterday. Has that ever happened to you? Well, the simple reason is because you stopped investing in your relationship. You stopped investing yesterday. But it doesn't have to be that way. You can start reinvesting your relationship at any time. I'm sharing that with you guys and girls, just in case you know. You can reinvest at any time. And this is what the same thing we're talking about here, making decisions about our lives. Jesus tells us that where your investment is that's where your heart is. Where are you investing right now? You know, we can get to the point in our relationship with the Lord that we stop investing in prayer. We stop investing in Bible study. We stop investing in fellowship. We stop investing in giving or serving for Jesus. We can get to the place in our relationship with Jesus where we're not investing anything in the Lord. We're investing everything where we're following our heart. We're not directing our heart in the way. We're letting our hearts lead us wherever it is we find our pleasure. And that's where we get into trouble. If you truly want to have a good decision in your life, make good decisions as a Christian, you got to lead your heart in the way. And that means you got to check your heart. You got to know what kind of decisions you're making and play them up against the Bible. Because how in the world are you ever going to know if you're making good decisions or not if you're not checking how those decisions play up against the Scriptures? Number one. Number two, and then you got to invest. You have to invest your heart in the way. Because where your investment is, that's where your heart is. You know, our text tells us today that we need to direct our investments. We need to lead our hearts constantly to make them in heavenly places. And Paul shares that with us. I'm going to read this to you. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 4. 2-4. It says, therefore, if you have been raised up. How many of you have been raised up in Christ Jesus today? If you have been raised up in Christ, keep seeking things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Whoa, that's pretty cool. Okay, so if I've been raised up with Christ, I should be seeking the things above, where Jesus is sitting on his throne. Boy, that's power. Set your mind on things above and not on the things on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And for you guys, that means be loyal. Jesus wants some loyalty from you. For you girls, that means Jesus wants some devotion. Jesus wants some loyalty, man. All you men, he wants loyalty from you. You died in Christ. Your life is hidden in Christ. And so when Christ is our life, when he is revealed, then you also will be revealed in glory. So when Jesus comes, because you've been investing your heart in something other than this world, when Jesus comes, you will be seeing the results of that investment as he will be revealed and you will be revealed with him. You're going to be revealed right along beside him. Then you also will be revealed in him with him in glory. Ooh, that's powerful. Man, that's more than powerful. I want another amen. Amen. Come on, you guys. Let's get excited about Jesus in here. Yes. Okay. Jesus tells us that it's where we invest our hearts that makes a difference. You know, wherever you invest, that's where it's going to be. And I'm going to end today with just this thought, okay? And I don't know if you guys have ever heard this story. It's a story that Jesus told. It's in Matthew 25, and it's like that series of stuff that Jesus told about the end times, all that end time stuff. And then he said this. He said, then the kingdom of heaven will be compared to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were prudent. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the prudent took oil in flasks along with their lamps. Okay, what's going on here? This whole parable is about making decisions. There were 5 of those last day ladies who made the decision to invest in the oil. There were 5 that made the decision that it wasn't important. Then the bridegroom tarried. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slept. I think our church is sleeping. But when the bridegroom appeared, all of a sudden there was a shout. Hey, the bridegroom's coming. He hadn't come yet, but he was coming. They all got up. They got awake. Then suddenly, there was a problem. The 5 who made the decision not to invest their heart, excuse me, I'm getting ahead of myself, not to invest in that oil, didn't have enough light because their lights burned out. The 5 that had invested, made the decision to invest, had the oil they needed to make it all the way to the end where the bridegroom finally arrived, and they went into the marriage supper with the lamb, with the bridegroom, and the door was shut. And I want you to think about this for a minute. That this whole proverb that we've been studying, to be wise is to lead your heart in the way, is teaching us that we need to really check to see where we're at. Where are you leading your heart today? What decisions are you making in your lives about the way for which you've been called? Number one. Number two, and you know what? I just showed you how you can do it, didn't I? What did I say? Check your heart, right? Amen. You can do this. Amen. Sample how you've been making decisions in the last week and compare those to the scriptures and see where your heart is. Number two, I said if you really want to invest your heart or lead your heart in the way, you need to invest it into the way. You got to invest it into Jesus. I believe that everything that we just shared today in that proverb is Jesus was talking about in this parable. Those people who had the oil and made it all the way with their lights burning at the very end when it was the darkest time, were people who had invested, made a decision today to invest into that relationship with God. to invest their lives into that relationship, to invest their hearts in Christ. And for you guys, I'm saying, you decided, I'm going to be loyal to Jesus. I'm going to hold up the flag for Jesus. I'm going to walk with Jesus. I'm going to be his disciple. You know, all his disciples, most of them were guys. Rough guys, construction worker types. Fishermen. So you guys, you're going to make a decision to invest your heart. Be loyal to Jesus. For you girls, that means being devoted to Christ. That means that you make a decision right now to devote your life to Christ. Be devoted. Devote him. Make decisions based upon the way. And I just want to close with this appeal. How many of you today know that you really, if you were to check your heart while we were doing this sermon, you would say to yourself, you know what? I really haven't been making decisions. I haven't been investing my heart in a way. I've been investing my heart in all kinds of other things, but not in Jesus. If that's you, and you want to, and you'd like to say, I want to renew my commitment to Jesus, raise your hand. I want to renew my commitment. That's what you're saying today. I want to renew my commitment. I want to renew my commitment to Jesus. Whether that's a guy, you're going to be loyal now to Christ, or a girl, you're going to be more devoted to Christ. I want you to make that decision today. Thank you. And the second one I'm going to make is this. If you, all of you, want to stand for Jesus right now, stand with me as we sing this closing song this morning. Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart. And while you're hearing this song being sung, friends, please think about the commitment that you're making right now as you stand. You're making a commitment that you want to be a Christian in your heart.